Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Scott, it's, what is it, February 26th? My gosh, going quick.
I'm going quick.
I feel spring again. I tell you what, Tigers lost today, but that's okay. They're going to lose a lot more before it's over, so get used to it. But there's still baseball, all right?
Miggy's last year.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully he goes out with a big bang. So, what's going on in the automotive industry world, or the union world in general?
Are you talking to me?
Anybody?
No, anybody. Oh.
Are we the only two on here?
No, I'm not on here. Too busy working.
Okay, so I'm by myself.
I heard out at 8:30, and if I put you on and you're not talking, please mute your phone. And here's 313, you're on.
Hello.
Thank you.
How are you?
Adrian.
Yeah.
Hello.
How are you?
We're very good.
Doing fine. Let's say, Adrian, who is this? 313?
I'm 313 today.
You fooled me. I tell you that.
Good evening.
I'm not the 313, but my power is out.
Oh. Jeez.
So I have no internet service, and so my home phone, my land phone, is not working.
Five days now?
Four and a half days, yes. Almost five days.
Now, honestly, I'm going to ask a question, honestly. Be honest. Scott's phone sound good at all, or is it just coming through my mixer wrong?
Somebody's cell phones, they're not always the best, depending on how the towers are working and stuff. So,
yeah, he sucks. They're afraid to tell you, but it sucks.
Yeah, I hate using the cell phone to call into the show.
This is George. Am I on?
Yes, George. How are you?
I'm fine. That was probably me that did have my phone muted. I didn't know I was on. Thank you.
You're welcome. If somebody's talking in the background, could you mute your damn phone?
I thought.
Well, find out who it is, and I'll hang up on you. God.
Not me.
Hey, Jimmy. Help me out here.
All right, what's going on, Don? How's it going, George? I'm sorry for being a couple minutes late. I had a hard time connecting.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, kid, what's up?
Good evening, everybody.
No problem.
I didn't wreck. Was that Brian?
No,
I said still no power.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what was screwing me up, too. I've had a terrible, well, not with power. My, Wi-Fi shit ain't been working all damn week. It's been a weird one. But you guys been paying attention to the scuttlebutt, how they're talking about this campaign shit, and then Curry's blown it out of the water, yet he blessed the appointment for this person that supposedly did it out there in 9-8. Isn't that his home region?
Yes.
What I figured. You know, smells like shit, probably. It looks like shit, probably shit, I guess. I don't know. You know, don't understand that other than, I don't know. Can somebody paint a better picture than me? Because the one I'm seeing, I don't like.
Do I sound a little better now, Don?
Yeah, you sound good. You sound better, Scotty.
Okay.
You're doing good, buddy. Relax.
I actually thought that was George. Oh, my God.
No. I'm here.
George muted himself.
This is Paul again. And I...
good evening, Paul.
Good evening, all of you.
Bye, Paul.
Okay.
Just wanted to get on briefly and remind people. No, Jim, there's no good picture out there because we have a fundamental problem, not a small problem or a set of problems in the UAW. This was originally a strong militant union that fought to improve the lot of the worker. And in the 1980s, General Motors and UAW, and I'm sure every other company that the UAW organized, signed an agreement that the UAW will work towards continuous improvement. We have a president currently who is determined to work with the companies, even though the net result is we've lost 90% of our membership. Many of the people that are out here on retirement didn't want to retire, but they retired because their plant was closed or they bargained away the rights and made them as miserable as they can possibly be. And if people out there vote for Ray Curry, they're voting basically for a man who will not be proactive, who will not play chess with management, somebody who will let management do whatever they want, go along with every plan management wants, cut your breaks, eliminate every good job in the plant, crank up the work pace. And so there's a lot at stake at this vote. And everybody who's listening, who's an active worker, who has any relatives or friends that are retired, tell them this is your chance to fight back for the first time in your union career. You have a voice, and use it.
That's right. There you go,
and
Paul.
And use it loudly.
Well, folks, that's a show. That's a wrap. I think you said it all.
Yeah.
Paul, I hope you're feeling better, buddy.
I am. I'm just raring to go.
Okay.
Good. Because I'm going to ask you, Adrian, Jimmy, and Don, and anybody else on here, put your thinking caps on. Somebody asked me a question today.
Hold on. I've got another chat.
Here's the question.
Hold on, Scott. Do you listen?
Okay.
313, you are now on.
Hello, it's Sharon Bell. I'm just online listening, and I'll participate.
All right, Ms. Bell. Go ahead, Scott.
All right. Question is.
What is?
So I have a question. Belvedere Assembly is having an exit meeting March 1st. What are the most important questions to ask? My first reply was to her was, what are they planning to do with the seniority members? They responded by, got that answer. You can sign up for volunteer in market within 5 days or out of market at any time after indefinitely laid off, which goes by seniority. However, Michigan areas include Ohio, Michigan, and they said that the company can place you anywhere in that market area or wait until they send you a letter for non-volunteer. And my response was,
would Indiana be in,
huh?
Would Indiana be in that, involved with that?
She says that the Ohio and Ohio area includes Michigan.
Okay.
Didn't say Indiana. I don't know if Chrysler has a plant in Indiana, do they?
I don't think so either. I don't think so. Go ahead.
So I said, okay, well, maybe call on tonight's show, and you may get a lot of different answers. I mean, my first thing was, what are you going to do with the seniority employees? What about my health care?
pension, benefits, you know, everything. It's all wrapped up in one, I would think. You know what I mean? So
it should be, Scott, but there's language in our white book. I can't speak for the Chrysler white book, but remember this. There's language in there. If you take the voluntary layoff and you don't take a suggestion, then to come back, you got to just, the person you displaced, if you got to come back at a temp wage. Remember that?
Correct. Or you have to take what's being offered, and if you turn it down, it's considered a voluntary quit.
Exactly.
They've done everything they can throughout the auto industry to make it as difficult as they can for high seniority workers, so that they just force them to retire.
You're right, Paul. What they did is I don't care if you were at Ford or if you were at Chrysler or if you were at General Motors. We all know as we age working in the assembly plant and certain plants, we would try to get to one of the SPOs or to a proving ground or something like that. Or even a lot of us ran to stay janitorial. And they gave all that shit away for a lower paying job, knowing our bodies ain't going to take 30, 40 years of this shit. I mean, think about this. These people nowadays, if they hire in at 18 and they don't get a pension until they get Social Security, I was appalled when I found out my daughter's got to be 71 years old to get Social Security, for God's sake.
Okay, we got some, let me get some callers on here. 989, you're on. And Brian, you're on, brother.
Hello.
Hello.
I want the membership to keep this in mind before this contract comes up. Ford CEO Jim Farley, total compensation soared 93% to $22.8 million in 2021. General Motors CEO Mara Barra received a total of $29.1 million total compensation for 2021. And for Stellantis CEO, he made a total compensation that rose to $24.8 million in 2022. So they haven't announced Ford and GM's CEO salaries for 2022 yet, but you guys need to keep that in mind. These companies have been making record profits every single contract, 2015, 2019. They've been making global profits. They've been getting local, state, and federal tax abatements, and these CEOs are getting 300 to 400 times more than the average employee. And every time a contract comes up, they want to scream broke. And the Solidarity House has been negotiating these company-friendly concessionary agreements that force a tier system and a temp system. They've taken COLA and the Christmas bonus away from the active workers and the retirees, tier with no health care and no pension when they retire, and the temps get no profit sharing, no nothing. The leadership had divided and undermined our membership throughout the decades, and that's how we ended up from going from 1.5 million auto workers to 150,000 today. And now that we're transitioning from combustible to EV, there's going to be more jobs lost. When you look at Ford Romeo engine plant, when you look at Trenton North, when you look at Belvedere, when you look at Lordstown and all these other facilities, I'm telling you, if you guys don't reform this leadership and you guys don't stand up and save your state and federal taxes and your profit sharing for when we end up striking come September, and you guys settle for that little sign-on bonus, you guys get exactly what you deserve if you get screwed. You got to remember that a lot of things hide behind a zipper clause, and after you ratify that tentative agreement, Everything rolls out in an MOU after the fact, and you have no clue that these things are taking place until it comes up. And the fact that you don't even realize that you have a right to ask for the full tentative agreement during negotiations. Now, they're not going to give you a copy to take home with you, but if you don't want to just see the highlights and you want to read the full tentative agreement, you have a right to go to your union hall at that point in time and ask to view the full tentative agreement. And you guys need to set up groups to break that contract down and write down the pros and cons of that contract and educate your union brothers and sisters.
Right.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, right. Hey, Brian, can you, for the audience that's listening, in case they've never heard of it or heard you mention the term, can you explain the zipper clause?
Hello?
Hold on, please. We've got a lot of people. I'm trying to get them on. And hold on. Now, it disappeared.
Oh, you said me first.
Okay, go ahead. I don't know who me first is. I'm lost.
989.
Okay, go ahead.
989. Yeah. Actually, when I came out to Belvedere, the 2009 contract, they handed us out contract books before we voted. I thought
what do you mean? And what do you mean they handed out contract books before you voted? The contract books ain't even printed up.
They handed them out to us.
I heard about that. What was the date on that contract? I heard that they did that, but if you'd have looked, it was the previous date. I was 4 years old.
I don't know. I didn't want the contract book because we didn't vote on it.
Well, even if you look at the 2019 contract, on page...
It wasn't 19. This was way before then.
Okay, but even if you look at 2019 on page 215, there's language in there for Belvedere. Now, as far as them rolling out the contract previous to the ratification vote, I'm confused on how they did that because the books weren't even printed.
Exactly. In 2009, not 19, they handed out contract books.
Yeah, I don't know how they did that.
They did it. And, I'm the one with the big question. We're getting laid off indefinitely. Mosa plant on March 3rd. We got an exit meeting on March 1st. Rumors now is that Boyer's going to be there and somebody from Stellantis. But that's just rumors from what I know. I will transfer, but I want to go to a certain area. My union says the company can tell you where you got to go. I don't want to end up at Toledo. I want to end up in Michigan. But
well, let me say, the union, that's a negotiated item. The union can negotiate something to keep you in the labor market if they wanted to.
But the labor market is Ohio and Michigan. It overlaps.
Don't you have another facility in Indiana or Illinois?
There's one facility in Illinois. That's Naperville Parts Plant.
Right.
And I think the union members are going there. And I don't want to go there.
Oh, okay.
I want to go to Michigan. But I don't have a choice. If I sign up for a Michigan labor market, I could still end up in Ohio.
Well, see, that's a question you need to ask Rich Boyer that, you know, when it comes down to seniority, you guys should be able to select which facility you want to go to based off the openings at that facility and go from there. But that's something you're going to have to bring up.
As far as we know, there's no openings out there. That's what they're doing to us here. There's no openings out there.
Well, that could be a possibility because you got to remember, Belvedere sent a lot of people out to Michigan already, sort of Trenton, Engine North. So, and I believe there were some layoffs at Mac as well. So, I believe they laid some temps off at Mac. So it's a good possibility there is no openings. I don't know. Only they know.
Actually, I think their plants have openings, but they don't want people from Belvedere.
They want to play mind games with people to get them to take buyouts or retirements.
Right.
Well, that's what they're trying to get the high seniority out. Because it's no doubt in my mind, if they were to send some type of product to Belvedere and retool that, they're going to bring in
that's
nothing
not
but
happen.
New people. I'm just hypothetically, they retool that and they bring something there. They're going to bring nothing but low seniority people, nothing but new people in there at low wages, just like these battery plants.
Yes, that's true. I understand that.
But as far as what you're talking about, I mean, you got to remember that the leadership put you in this situation. They negotiated that, and the membership ratified it. It was no different than when my job got outsourced back in 2007. The membership, you know, the leadership agreed to outsource our department, and the membership ratified it. So until the membership decided to come together and unify and realize that the leadership is what stands between us and these companies and what we get in these contracts, and they're undermining the membership, lying and deceiving and threatening us, if the membership is not...
I understand
that you understand. But the thing is, you're talking about something that can't change until we change the leadership and until the membership come together in unity and solidarity and stand as one. So it doesn't even make sense to talk about what's going on at Belvedere unless we're going to reform the leadership and the membership's going to come together. Because nothing's going to change your situation until we reform this leadership and until the membership come together. And I'm just being truthful with you.
May I ask a question? Is your local having elections or no? Because elections, unless the local is shut down, there's still local negotiations, local. People don't realize that. There's still elections coming up. And within the union, until that local is completely disbanded. And
exactly. I don't know when the local is going to be disbanded.
You don't know, but what I need you to know, I know this because I did the research and it happened at 909. Just because y'all leaving, you still got local contract coming up. And right now, all the locals are having local contracts coming up.
We haven't had a local contract since
19. Well, let me help you understand the politics, though. That's what I want you to understand today.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if you don't have a contract. We're dealing with union stuff now. Forget the company for a minute. The company say we close and blah, blah, blah. There's laws and regulations, and we have elections. We have contracts that end, and if you don't have one, that's one thing. But leadership, do you still have leadership at your local?
No.
They were elected by you all. I want you to attention to...
There's not a leadership, as like with Brian Keller saying. They don't lead us.
Okay, but I want you to pay attention to the legalities. I don't want to. All I want to talk about is to explain the law to you about this. You have elected people. Watch my terminology for those who are listening. You have elected people. You got a president, chairman, whatever. Their term of office within the union structure is going to be coming up. They're the ones in the plant talking to management. Even though you guys will be gone until that union hall is disbanded under your region or whatever, legally they still can be talking. They can bring new product. They can talk bull crap. You don't know about it. You leave it. They can even run an election. This is all in the national guidelines, the National Labor Board, and a lot of stuff. So you don't, if you don't understand your union structure, you need to understand that. Why? Because who's running against them? So when y'all leave, the same people going to be there. Oh, it's contract time. Who's voting? It's three people here. Okay? So I'm just laying that out to you all, bringing your knowledge there. I know that union halls have to be disbanded. Because I do research. I've
been
to the National Board. End of story.
I agree with you.
Okay. I think, George, you had a question for Brian, I think. It was George.
No, it wasn't me. Sorry.
Okay.
I think it was Jesse.
No, it was me, Don. It was me. Hey, Brian, I wanted to ask you when you talked about the zipper clause. For those that have never heard that term or heard you speak about it, can you bring light to what that means, please?
Well, I mean, there are different zipper clauses, and you would basically have to Google it. But what it is, it's language that the company and the leadership do not have to provide to the membership.
Right.
And normally, so they negotiate this language that hides behind a zipper clause, and then it don't come out until later, and it comes out as an MOU. But you won't see it. You won't see it in the highlights. You won't see it in the full tentative agreement. So if you ask for the full tentative agreement at the time, you won't see that language in there.
Right. You could be violating a contractual language and not even know it because of the MOU.
Well, not until it gets rolled out.
Right. What I'm just saying is it could be there and you could be violating the contractual language because of an MOU and not even know it. That's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah. Or the company could be violating it because they know the membership is not aware
exactly.
of that language.
And that's
I'm
what that's what
another one.
And that's what Dick D'Angelo was. Go ahead.
My return home plan.
Hold on.
Please,
we have some.
If you guys are talking in the background, mute your phone so we can talk, please.
I'd just like to add a quick comment about these plant closings and these forced relocations. If I might, the management's goal is to inflict maximal psychological damage on the employee. They want to destroy the union culture. The union culture was always, before 40 years ago, was about resistance. When management crapped on you, you fought back. But they want to create a situation where people are willing to endure anything just to get a paycheck. And
you got to remember that it's not just the companies destroying and deteriorating our union. It's our leadership that's intertwined with the very companies we work for. They are helping these companies. They're helping management deteriorate and destroy this union from within. They've been undermining us for the last four decades.
If you don't have any money, they don't need to represent you.
Well, I mean, look, we had direct elections. The membership spoke, or there was a lot of foul play going on with the election process, either or. But either way, until the membership come together
yeah. and start organizing and start fighting back, we're going to continue to lose.
That's true.
Hear, hear.
Our leadership is very well organized. We're not.
Yeah, they're organized with management.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have.
But everybody thinks this is a popularity contest. Everybody, you know, a lot of people feel, well, it don't affect me at the moment, so, you know, I'm good. As long as they're getting what they're getting, they can care less about anybody else. Somebody posted a screenshot of one union member, something about saying, solidarity don't pay my bills. And the international said, well said. Did you guys see that?
Yeah,
screenshot?
I got a copy of that screenshot, too.
I did,
can
too.
You, there you go. I mean, that's the mindset of a lot of the membership. That solidarity don't pay your bills. They're out for themselves.
I believe that was following the 19 contract, Brian. I believe that was a response. I think that was a response in, from the international UAW Facebook page to somebody back after the 19 contract and during the GM strike.
Even if that's the case, the mindset hasn't changed. That's why we are where we are today, because this union, the membership, has been undermined by the leadership and by management. They've been lied to, they've been deceived, and they've been threatened, and we've been divided. So you've got these individuals that can care less about anybody else and truly believe that solidarity does not pay their bills. But solidarity, without solidarity, we're not going to survive.
I can't tell where this is. Just a second.
Hey, can I put in a minute? If you guys are not talking, please mute your phone so we can hear who's talking.
That would be the 989 lady, I believe.
Yeah, that's really rude. We're trying to communicate. We're trying to talk to the membership, but you guys can't seem to mute your phones after you've been told numerous times to mute your phone if you're not talking on the show.
Okay, I got another number, 989-213. You're on.
I'm sorry, 989. Yeah, I lost your call,
and I came back on.
And
all right.
I'm going to mute you. Yes, I am here.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
But I'm going to mute you.
Nope. Okay.
All I'm saying, the key to survival for this union and for the membership, to preserve our futures, you got to have unity. You got to have solidarity. Because solidarity does pay your bills. I don't care what you say. This union is made up of every single one of us members that share the same common interests, and we are going through the same common issues. And if you're not willing to come together, I'm telling you, our futures are going to be cut short because of that mindset.
You're here. Hey, and I can come in and prove something for what you just said. The Rouges, electric vehicle center in Dearborn, it's going to remain closed again. It's been closed since February 5th because of a battery fire. They're having problems with their vehicles. And if we don't stand together, that's going to affect all these people at the Rouge Electric Vehicle Center. I don't know how many people are there, but it's going to affect every one of them. It already has for going on 4 weeks now. And nobody is saying anything in solidarity about what's going on, are they?
Nope. And when they start building these EV trucks and EV Jeeps and all these products, and they transfer them to Mexico or they transfer them over to Europe, what are you guys going to do when they shut your plant down? Just because you're in a truck plant or the Jeep plant, it doesn't mean they can't shut you down.
Right.
And Brian? On top of that, if they keep weakening this union the way they are, if you're the last plant standing, you're not going to have any power. Yes.
Yeah, hey, Brian, I don't know if anybody else has heard. I read an article the other day, and I don't remember the source, but it was, I believe, an automotive source. You said something about Europe. Europe actually, within the last week or so, on agreeing, like the U.S., to ban all combustible vehicles, I think, by 2035. They're on the California plan. So,
well, it's not just the California plan. You got New York. You got all kinds of states going to follow that bill of banning combustible engines by 2035. And Europe's just following our steps.
Yeah, I was just referencing California because they had to make the first statement to put out there last year that they were banning it. So I was just referencing California.
But when you look at what Don... Yes.
Okay.
Is somebody calling my name?
Yeah, well, no, I did.
Oh, go ahead.
I guess there's a delay. Brian, you're right. And you're the only person that made me want to stick up for myself.
I mean, we're all going to have to come together. That's the bottom line. Not
I
to
know
stick
that.
Up for ourselves, but we have to stick up for each other.
Well, exactly. I can't stick up for myself because, personally, me, I don't know the contract completely.
Can you read?
Yes, I can read.
But well, it ain't just knowing the contract.
You start reading that, and it makes you go to page to page to page. I get frustrated.
You don't have page to page. You can get a chocolate cake recipe in there. Did you know that?
Really?
It's not just knowing the contract. You gotta know some of the rules under the National Labor Relations Act. You got to have a backbone. You got to have common sense. You
got
to have tactics. You
got
to have a strategic plan.
Yeah, I don't have all that. I do have common sense. I do have a backbone. But at Belvedere, they're all brainwashed.
It ain't
they
just Belvedere.
Believe, I know. But in this plant, they believe what their union tells them, and that's what they go by.
Right.
And that's what I keep saying. Your local leadership at every single one of these locals.
I don't believe my local leadership.
Hold on. The majority of these locals, the local leadership, help these companies, help the Solidarity House, push these company-friendly concessionary agreements. And for whatever reason, the membership keep listening to the local leadership, knowing that the local leadership sold them out, knowing that the local leadership is self-serving, and all they're looking for is an appointment to the region or to the Solidarity House, and they keep electing the same people back into office. I don't understand that mindset.
In Belvedere, we had a meeting about questions. And the union president said to us, it was Warren Trucks closing because they can't have quality. But they're not going to bring their product here. They're going to take us there.
Quality starts quality starts with management.
I already know that's bullshit. Because our plant was slated to close. And my president said, oh, no, they're going to bring the quality to that plant instead of bringing the product here.
So if the membership knows their plant is going to be idled, or they know they're going to close your plant, or they know you're gonna end up being laid off, whatever the case. What is stopping the membership from organizing out in front of the Solidarity House and out in front of these regions to force them to do their job and hold them accountable and responsible for protecting our futures? If you guys ain't willing to stand, if you guys ain't willing to stand for anything, you're going to fall.
Our plant is out nowhere.
Well, let's move on, you guys. We can't settle this right now anyway. 440,
okay.
You're on.
Hello, Don.
Hello. Hello.
I missed a part of it. I caught the very tail end of what you guys were saying. Instead of moving product or moving employees to a product, what about the people that had RTBU rights to that product? They're just going to pull it from a facility that's already, pardon me, pull it from a workforce that's already building it and bring in new people to do the work? I've never heard of that.
What do you mean you never heard of it? Sure you have. They've been transferring our work overseas and down south to Mexico for decades.
Right. Wait, but they move the product. They don't keep it in the same facility and have a new workforce rebuild it. I've never heard of that. They have taken it from facilities. They moved it overseas. They moved it, a lot of it, to Mexico. You know, they'll bounce it back and forth across the border just to negotiate.
Well, it's no different than them outsourcing departments, right? They're kicking out union brothers and sisters out of these jobs. They're bringing in a contract house, and sometimes
right.
They even unionize that contract behind their backs.
Right. Well, the thing is, the RTBU language, the return to basic unit rights, in an employee who is currently building a vehicle having the rights to transfer with their vehicle, is where I'm getting at. There's language that covers this.
Their product is dying, though. Remember that. They've got no new product. The ones that did or have been offered.
Belvedere, their product's going to Mexico, right? And, but Warren Truck, what are they building currently?
Warren Truck is building the Grand Wagoneer and the Wagoneer.
Oh, so just variations of the Cherokee. Okay.
No, the Grand Wagoneer and the Wagoneer. That's what they're building. Not the Cherokee. Not the Grand Cherokee.
I got you.
Hey, Brian, I want to feed off of what you said earlier in the show because it's very important, because I know that there's a lot newer listeners that might be Tier 2 or newer to these companies, the big three, and knowing that we're going to be going into negotiations. And you spoke about profit sharing, state and federal tax returns, people getting that. And I want to stress as a Tier 2 worker to the membership and to the audience, we really do need to save that money. You know, a lot of people already have in mind how we can spend that money prior to getting it, whether it's if you're behind on bills and things like that. Well, if you've been behind on bills for the last year since the last profit sharing check or since the last income tax return, and you survive this long, you can survive another 7 months and save that money and make sure that you have it. So many people on the shop floor are talking and saying, calling a bluff, oh, we won't strike. We're not going to get anything better. Well, you can't, if you can't financially hold your ground against the companies, if we can stay out in the event of a strike, if we can stay out and hold out, it's amazing what the UAW membership has gotten by standing in solidarity and sticking together. But you can't do that if you accept the division by not being financially ready for it. And we have that ability right now.
Not just you can save your state and federal taxes and your profit sharing, but when it comes down to striking, you can defer some car payments. And on top of that, the International decided after the fact, after the convention, after they can coerce the delegates in voting no to raise the strike fund, they turned around and raised the strike fund to $500. So that's $2,000 a month on top of your state and federal taxes and your profit sharing and maybe deferring some car payments. There's no reason why we can't make this happen.
Like you said,
if you've been in debt for 8 to 10 months, you know, nothing's going to hurt you any further if you end up getting back in debt while we're on strike. You just keep doing what you do to make it happen. Because if you settle for less, you're going to stay in debt.
Well, the good thing about this is that the amalgamated and the younger people, there's more in progression and temps now that staff the floors than there are since 19. They've been the majority. And increasingly as the legacy are retiring, more and more of them account for this percentage. And so the $500 is significant to them. The people it hurts mostly are the ones that are legacy. They make the top rate and they have higher bills. They have more. When you make more money, you spend more money. I mean, it's not always the smartest thing, but, you know, your standard of living is a little bit higher. So the people that work in there, you know, you might be in cleanup, and if you only make $500 a week, to get $500 a week, you've actually lost nothing. There's not a difference in your pay. The ones that really need to focus on securing themselves financially are the ones that have the higher bills. And if they don't, then they're still in the minority. So while the rest of the line's holding the line, they're going to suffer. Just those individuals. And I know that they're not going to put, they wouldn't put all three people or all three companies out on strike at the same time. The strike target is the one to strike, but you should plan like you're going to be the strike target and you could go out.
And yes, I would like to plan for that, but I also have to move.
Huh?
I would like to plan for the strike, and I am planning for the strike, and I will survive, but I also have to move.
Okay.
And I have kids.
Did they give you an offer? I mean, they're not even going to sit with the company until mid-July
Belvedere.
Next year.
From Belvedere. Okay. They give you, I'm married, so I don't get nothing. One of us don't get nothing. Right?
I'm listening.
According to the contract, it's only $30,000 per household.
What is $30,000?
To move.
Oh, you're moving allowance. And then they don't give it to you all at once when you start there. You have to be there X number of months before they release it. And sometimes they break it into two payments.
Yeah, you get it in three different increments.
There you go.
So I have to move.
Get a divorce for 6 months and get remarried.
Thought about that, but
did they say marry a man? I had about $20,000.
And you don't have to get a divorce; you can separate.
But you're on unemployment, so it doesn't even affect you at this point. If you're on unemployment,
I'm not on unemployment yet.
You're not.
I'm not on unemployment
you will be.
Yet.
You will become contract time unless they place you, and at that point, you're already working. So, you know, there's other things you can do. If you've got a 401k, if you put money in your 401k, can't do
I'm
it.
I'm not worried
after
about the strike. I'm not worried
you're
about
not.
The strike.
Well, if you can't save money, that you just
what
said you can't save money. I thought that you were worried about it.
What she's
but
talking
there's
about
there's
the
other
dilemma
people
we
out
all
there
face.
That can't do that.
No, what you're talking about is the dilemma we all face, Ford, GM, and Chrysler. We had what we called an area hire. They extended it out, like you're saying, where it damn near goes coast to coast. And if there's not an opening, we have to take the offer within that. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's something you've been voting on for a while now. This is something nothing new. That's why I'm shocked.
Right.
That's why I ask. Can you read?
Right. I don't think it has.
Yes, I can read. And I always voted no.
I don't think it'll have a bearing on whether or not you're going to survive a strike because your circumstances are going to change based on whether or not you're actively working or if you're on layoff. If you're on layoff, you stay on layoff. If you're on medical, you stay on medical. They can't cut your medical because
he's giving you some bad advice there because if she turns down a transfer, Jason, she loses her rights. Do you understand?
Who told her to turn down a transfer, Jim? Who told her to turn down a transfer?
Can I have another question in that? Still have the right when you turn down stuff, you keep your, I can't remember what it's called, but your rights to return to your home plant. I can't say it right.
Your callback rights.
Callback rights. It's called callback rights. How does that work?
Oh, it might be it might be different, ma'am. It might be different depending on the language for your company contract with the UAW on how that all works. So it depends on what your contract says. So if you do have your contract, I do recommend that you you said that you guys are having a meeting a meeting on March 1st. Yeah, I strongly suggest you look in your appendix at to look up the language for recall rights, for plant closing language, and some of that other stuff to clear it up. And I just want to let you know that what I was talking about as far as the big three negotiations, potential strike, and being prepared financially and other things of that nature, it wasn't directed at your specific situation, which I'm very sorry for your situation and anybody else that this is affecting from Belvedere, here, but it was more or less speaking to the audience that's listening to show up in the membership, and that is because we have a lot of people who have no rights to representation as a temp or other statuses. This also, for us to prepare in solidarity, this also affects all the suppliers on whether or not we potentially go out on strike or various other things. The other thing is the companies have already started preparing in the event that we strike because they are monitoring what we are speaking about across social media in the plants. They know that we're wanting stuff that has been negotiated away since 2008, and they know that more people are becoming aware of that.
Yeah. I don't
speaking,
have a problem.
I'm speaking bankruptcy forward. I'm speaking bankruptcy forward. That more people are becoming aware, even newer seniority people. And so we're talking about the membership as a whole, all of us, and being prepared because the companies have already postured more in advance than they have in the past contracts that I've been a part of. They're already posturing a faster rate and making different maneuvers to make sure that they are prepared in the event that we strike.
That's right.
And they're doing that. They've already announced all these profit sharing checks and touting all the profitability. Mm-hmm. And then within the 24 hours later after that, then they start releasing articles and interviews to the public to play the woe is me game on, well, it's going to be a challenging several years. So, and as far as announcing profit-sharing checks and the amounts and when they're being paid out, that is simply to pit the public against the labor worker. And then they turn around, the companies turn around and play the woe-is-me game that they have all these challenges. Recalls start coming into play and everything else to make it look like they're hurting for money when we do stand against them in negotiations. And this year is different,
right,
too, because we have to not just battle the companies for what is fair and what's right in solidarity, but we also have to battle our international leadership that has turned a blind eye to what we really want in piecemealed language in every contract or told us why we can't get these things. And people on the shop floors, many people on the shop floors are calling a bluff. Oh, we're not going to strike. Or, oh, we're not going to get, you know, what's been negotiated away. Well, with that mindset, you're never going to get anything. That's like saying I might get hit by a car when I leave my house on my way to work, so I better not do it. I better not leave my house. Well, you have to leave your house because life goes on. So we just need to be prepared, and it wasn't directed at you. I don't think anything that's been said is directed at you. It's more or less.
I'm not taking it that
everybody
way.
Everybody listening. All right.
But some people are.
So, as far as your fallback rights, whatever local agreement that you have, look in your local agreement.
We don't have a local agreement.
Okay, so normally it would be in your callback. So then look at your, like they told you, look in your national agreement for that. And you'll know it. If you need to reach out to me, you know my phone number. I'm more than happy to help every member do whatever you need.
Yeah, I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not completely worried about me, but callback rights. Is that callback rights to your plant or callback rights to the company?
Also, every facility has a local agreement. It may not be up to date.
Right.
But that is the agreement that you have to use.
Thank
you. Yeah, there's a lot of them expired, but they did have one. They're just operating under the expired agreement.
No. No, it's not so much that they're expired. It's that one has negotiated a new one. And
that's right.
What
thank you.
The members, now you're not going to overtalk me today. Nobody. So let's stop this. The members are lazy because they don't fight to get their local agreement done.
Right.
Stop being lazy.
And you know
lazy.
Why Belvedere doesn't have a local agreement?
I'm talking to the membership. Stop being lazy when it comes to your livelihood. This is your
That's
livelihood.
Right.
You cannot be lazy. Read these local agreements. If you haven't had one in 10 years, that's still in force.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's time to start jumping up and down and say, hey, we got to have a local agreement. An up-to-date local business.
Also,
I want people to pay attention because Canada is also negotiating their contracts this year before our contracts expire.
That's good.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And Canada's getting a lot of electric vehicles.
They fight back.
You're right, Adrian. Adrian, you're right about that, too, to be aware of the Canadian union negotiating with the big three along with that. And I believe they should be starting their negotiations within the next month or so.
Yeah.
And then we start in the summer. And our contract and their contract only expire 4 days apart from one another. Ours is due to expire in during a work week. Theirs expires within 4 days that I think on a Monday this year in September.
Very good. We have to keep an eye on that.
That's a good thing. Because normally they have to accept whatever the U.S. accepts.
They
also,
don't have to.
Your newly elected vice president that you are able to get. Those will be the people that will be over negotiations with the bargaining committee. A lot of people keep talking about they need to understand that if you have some concerns, you supported these people. They got elected, and they're probably friendly. You can try to reach out, especially if your plan is closing. Go through the protocols or just call and see and give your concerns because it's going to be a tough time. But Booth, and all of those guys that got elected, that ran for vice president and won, that's who will be over the contracts. Those are the ones in charge.
Bauer.
Boyer.
Yeah.
Boyer.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't.
Supposedly, he's going to be at our exit meeting.
Get your list of questions written down.
Hey, Adrian, the other thing,
too. That's what my biggest thing is. I don't know the questions to ask.
Go ahead, Brad. Who wanted to, Adrian?
Yeah, I was waiting for Jesse.
You go ahead, Adrian.
Hey, Adrian.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Adrian, I also wanted to add to you bringing awareness about the dual contract negotiations with the UAW and the Big Three, as well as the Canadian contract negotiations with Big Three. In 2019 negotiations, and I'm going to speak about GM specific because I didn't really go into Stellantis or Ford. When looking up why there was a difference or what the differences were with highlights in the contract negotiations between the UAW and the Big Three, as well as the Canadians and the Big Three. But the difference I found with GM was I wanted to question why did we get, for UAW members, for GM, why did we get $11,500 bonus, signing bonus, because that was the highest it's ever been. It was also the first contract where it was negotiated for temps to get a $4,500 signing bonus, which they'd never been privy to previously. And then I wanted to see what was the difference with the Canadian auto workers negotiations and signing bonus. And the big difference was that there was no negotiated, allocated work in the 2019 UAW GM contract. No negotiated work. There was a certain amount of money that was allocated to investment without being specific to where that investment was, which now we know was towards electric vehicles, primarily the battery plants. The media, and it's available out there to look up, but the media had hard questions for the spokesperson for the International UAW following negotiations and bringing the tentative agreement with highlights and everything else in the media. Hard question, the spokesman for the UAW, why are you guys not letting the public or the membership know for this tentative agreement where this money is actually going to, where the work is being allocated? Because it's always been disclosed, even to the media, at every contract tentative agreement media announcement, and the difference was we did not have work allocated specifically in during this entire contract, whereas Canadian auto workers did negotiate an allocated work specific to combustible vehicles. So that was the biggest difference, and I'm bringing that to light because we are both sides of the border. We're going to be in negotiations with the Big Three, and we need to keep that in mind. So when they start putting out the highlights and getting us contract signing bonus numbers, remember that. The higher the number, the less we're being told.
All right.
Okay.
And then you also have to realize that in Canada is different than us. I don't know how their representatives are now, but one of their things is that they are not interested in signing bonuses. They're interested in getting the monies in your paycheck.
Correct.
So all these bonuses and stuff, they really don't believe in that. You also have to look at the fact that they have universal health care. So that also increases their wages because, you know, they don't have to worry about the health care issue. They pay that in another way, like through taxes or what have you. So there are big differences in the way that their representatives operate as to the way our representatives operate.
But you know, the new Canadian president, I watched a couple of videos, and there's a woman, which that right there is a positive. You know, I like women representation, but in listening to what she's stating, they are way too open about accepting the job cuts for EV, but their president is not lying about what's coming. They were upfront and told them that there's a potential loss of jobs, and it was due to the electric vehicles.
There was also something else with Canada being opened up, and
that EV is effed, okay? Because why would I want one of those? And I don't have any power.
Right.
This power grid over here, they have not did anything to it. So they can come up with all the little scenarios they want to, 2035, 2026, I don't care. If you don't get this power grid fixed, you buy an electric vehicle, I wish you well. Pat and Tom will be working better than your vehicle.
Yep. Better find a generator that fits in the trunk of your car.
Can I say something a minute?
Yes.
I see the car dealerships can't park your electric vehicle inside overnight because they're catching fire. So what I see in the future is you're not going to be able to park your car, your electric vehicle, in the garage because your house is going to burn down. Your insurance company's not going to allow you.
They're already telling them to park them outside of their personal residences for some of the facilities that have had brands that have had recalls. But you're right. I watched a video where an electric vehicle just – it was on a charger inside of a parking garage, and it caught fire, and the owner says, no, you're not – you can't park an EV inside the facility anymore. So now they got – you know, where they thought they were going to get preferential parking and a charging station right by the door, you're going to walk half a mile to – you know, it creates an additional problems.
And look at
but now if your house. Now, if your house burns down, your insurance ain't going to cover it.
Yeah, who do you call? Your insurance company for your car or for your house?
Your house. If the insurance company makes you start parking them outside.
All right. Real quick, get back to Canada real quick. Don't forget, General Motors invested a lot of money, I believe it was almost $2 billion, to reopen the shuttered Oshawa plant, that complex. They're now building Chevy Silverado 1500 and an overrun plant supposedly for HDs. I'm hearing now they're also going to include GMC products up there too.
That's correct, Sal. Remember that they got that work on the guarantee that half that work would be temp and the rest would be tier two. I'm mute.
Actually, it's 75% of the workers are temps. Everyone in that new plant, I talked to a gentleman from the facility, have never worked in an auto plant before. It's a big learning curve. And somebody wants to know, Lemon wants to know, do they fight for pensions in Canada? Do they have a pension in Canada?
I don't know about that, but I did see today, I don't know about that as far as pensions, Scott, but I did, I was reading an automotive article just before the show, and then was looking at some comments, and a Canadian auto worker mentioned that they have COLA, but it's not COLA that goes with inflation, so it must be capped. And they said they haven't had an increase in COLA since 2015. And then there was more discussion in the forum on an automotive article about asking them how often do you get that paid out. And one person that didn't sound like they worked in the automotive industry was saying, oh, it's in your hourly pay, and that was contradicted with they get paid quarterly or yearly. And I believe the worker responded that they got like $2,000. They don't get profit sharing, but they got $2,000 a year to make up for that COLA language.
Huh.
But as far as pension, I don't know what they get or don't get.
Okay.
And Somebody wants to get on the show, Don. I don't know who it is.
Well, all they have to do is push one on your keypad, and I'll get them on, Scott.
There you go.
And we have 20 minutes left.
Yeah. 19 minutes left. You push one on your keypad, whoever that was. There's only two that doesn't have a, that's not on. A10. Push one if you want on.
There you go. Press one.
My question is, has anybody seen the breakdown? They're always saying, well, you know, you're getting this much, you're getting that much. But how many of the workers actually made the hour requirement? Because I'm finding out a lot of people didn't get that.
Oh, for the profit sharing. Right?
Correct.
Wow.
That's always a problem. You know,
I understand that, but I just wanted to put that out there. Right.
I'm happy you did, because I had a little conversation going with someone on Facebook before my power went out. And I was saying that they're jumping up for joy about the Stellantis getting $14,760. And I'm like, but everybody doesn't get that, because it goes on hours worked. I don't know if they still do this thing at the temp where they don't give them anything. So anyway, for me. And showed me a schedule based on hours. And I think the lowest amount was maybe $3,000, I think. But I can't remember what the status, you know, what the classification status was, if they were part-time, temporary, or whatever.
Well, temps for Chrysler do not get profit sharing. Chrysler also changed the formula where the multiplier last year was 7.81, and this year it's 7.71. So they changed the formula, and then you got to understand that, you know, if your plant shut down for part shortages, semi-chip conductors, because you had a shortage of that, whatever the reason your plant shut down, because of those lost hours, which were no fault to the membership, that's going to affect your profit sharing. I don't know why the leadership didn't negotiate to where if there was an outbreak or the plant shut down because of part shortages or whatever, that the company's got to eat that. But they didn't negotiate it like that.
Yeah, that's a shame, too.
Yeah, so the membership's getting screwed. Just like them raising the strike fund. Like I always tell people, just because they raise the strike fund, it doesn't mean they're going to authorize a strike. It doesn't mean they're going to allow you to go on strike. So a lot of good it does to raise the strike fund if you're not going to sit there and hold the company accountable. So, you know, the leadership's been lying to you, deceiving you, threatening you. You guys got to be able to read between the lines. You got to understand the game that they're playing to undermine the membership, because our leadership is so intertwined with the very companies we work for. We've been taking losses for the last 4 decades, especially the last 2 decades since the bankruptcy of 2008. We've been taking huge losses, and we haven't gained anything back. And like with Canada, we have to get away from these bonuses, these sign-on bonuses, whatever bonuses, and it needs to go to our hourly rate so we can fight to get pensions back and to get health care back for those that don't have it. So don't let your leadership undermine you. If you guys are allowing the leadership to undermine you, then, like I said, at the end of the day, you guys get what you get. Because you guys are not willing to stand for anything. You're not willing to stand for your families. You're not willing to stand for each other. You're not willing to stand for yourself. And we're just going to keep losing. Common sense is common sense. How many times do we got to keep losing and watching plants being shut down and watching departments being outsourced before you guys
finally get a clue that we're all getting screwed. I don't care if you're a retiree, SBU skilled trades, tier one, tier two, or a temp. We're all getting screwed. So we either all can lose together or we can gain together.
Yeah.
But the only way we're going to gain together is we have to come together for what we share in common, period.
Here, here.
Stop being so weak and naive.
Well said.
I want to go to a union meeting with Brian.
Right? It's inspiring. Every time he talks, it just pisses you off and makes you want to, you know. But you know what's really disheartening is that somebody could have something in their face. They could see the evidence. They know the truth and let somebody else talk in their ear and convince them that what they're seeing is not reality. It happens over and over again. When do you come back to your basic senses and say, hey, no, I see what's going on, and excuse my French, fuck you. I can tell you're trying to take care of yourself and you don't care about me. So when are you going to stop listening to the hype? You got plants closing. You got facilities closing. Six of them since 19, four of them in the last year and a half during Curry's administration, and people still are thinking that they're doing the right thing.
And I agree with you. That's exactly what they're doing, because they're allowing the leadership to put out all this false propaganda, and the leadership is not providing – hold on. The leadership is not providing proof of none of this.
Right.
So how are you going to sit there and listen to lip service without proof? If you're going to state something about somebody, then at least post the proof behind your comment. If you're not going to post the proof behind your comment, it ain't nothing but lies and deceit.
They haven't even filed a complaint with the monitor. This was just to influence the vote.
Oh, come on. The damn monitor ain't doing his job. So
right,
you can file
right.
a complaint all you want, but it's not like the monitor's going to do anything.
I agree 100%. But what I'm stating is they're putting it out there as fact about all these campaign finance violations, and not one complaint's been filed with the monitor about a campaign violation, campaign finance violation. It's
how
just
can
to
you
influence
file
the vote.
A campaign violation? Look, listen. How can you file a campaign violation when you are not a credentialed representative or candidate? You are
just a
supporter. You cannot
file you're talking about the people that's putting it out there. Right.
Yes, the people that's putting it out there. That's why there's no facts behind it.
That's
because
right.
they don't have the actual logs.
That's right.
They're being told
we can get
to
people,
do this.
Right.
Well,
my thing is this.
If the Solidarity House, if Ray Curry and the Solidarity team are going to sit there and cry about Sean Fain's donations
mm-hmm.
without providing any proof, right, stating that
right.
he took this amount of money, but they're not providing any proof of this, and the membership's going along with it, just
right.
like when they said, I never held position. Brian's never been elected, but I brought it up in the forum. Did any UAW presidential candidate dispute it? No, because
nobody
they knew I held position. But my why doesn't Ray Curry produce his W-2s so we can see how
I
much
got
he's
a question.
Worth?
Brian, I got a question to say to that about that.
What about Boyer?
This guy that gave that money to Fain, it openly says that Curry appointed him to assistant director of 9A. Now, come on. Why, if Curry knows this clown gave a bunch of money to the guy that's running against him, why the hell would he appoint him? If you can't smell the shit on that fire, people, you deserve the screwing we're getting. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Yeah, but a lot of people can
and it's,
smell it.
It's still a distraction,
a lot of
though, because
can smell
the real
it,
thing is their plant. The real
they
thing is their plant's
it.
Closing. Okay,
one at a time.
It's still just a distraction from the fact that the plants are closing. It's to distract you from that. That's the most important thing, is people losing their facilities. You at Belvedere, Trenton, Bourne, all these facilities that have been, Lordstown, you know, and it's all agreements that they made in advance. And it's to distract you from that. You want to talk about
it ain't just distracting you from plant closings. They're distracting you from what you've lost. When you look at the retirees and the active workers that we lost the Christmas bonus and COLA, the tier one and the retirees haven't seen a raise or an increase in their pensions in God knows how long. I think last time was 2007.
Yep.
2007. Yep. And then you have the two tier that don't have the health care and pension. People, you need to focus on what you're losing versus, you know, allowing these people to sit there and lie to you over and over and over again. You have to stand up and fight eventually. Huh?
I agree with you.
You know, it's like a deflection that they got a raise. Remember? The IEB?
Yeah.
The president?
They got the raise.
They got a raise in their pension. They got a raise in their...
The whole union is corrupt.
And they got a raise in their wage. Just during the short period before the convention and during the convention. So
right.
They want to, they don't want to talk about that anymore. They don't want that coming out.
And not just they don't want that coming out. I don't see the Solidarity House talking against the CEOs of these companies and their total compensation of making $25 million for the year of 2022, nor do I see the Solidarity House talking about the local and state and federal tax abatement that these companies are getting.
Right.
I agree with Adrian. Brian, you're totally right. Totally right.
Well, the other thing is you want to talk about campaign finance violations. You know that they traveled the country. They visited every local. And it wasn't under union business because these locals hadn't seen their presence either the entire time that they've been in office or it's been decades. If it was any pertinent...
Sean Fain came to our plant.
If it was any pertinent union business, how come it's not had to have happened in prior years before when there was no election?
That's correct.
Now, you know it's bullshit. They were traveling the country on the members' dues.
That's
calling
right.
It union business and campaigning.
Oh, that's how we use the strike and defense fund. You know, that word defense... That word
right.
Defense, boy, that's something else there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, no matter how you frame it, it was the members' money that they were using. You're
that's
talking
right.
About somebody who gave $30,000 from the outside. How much did you guys spend on your world tour? How much did that cost the members? Regardless of where you got it from, it's their money.
Well, we should get an
accounting of that.
That's
why Sean Payne came and visited our plant. Ray Curry didn't do it. And my union said we didn't ask for international to come and see us. I don't know why.
They visited a lot of plants.
They didn't come visit us. And
all
they
over
said they asked for international to come in, and they wouldn't come in.
They didn't.
Why would they visit a plant that's getting ready to idle?
Right.
They don't care about your votes.
I already know that, Brian.
They already know
that
the people at Belvedere is not going
to
support Ray Curry.
Or Romeo or Trenton or Warren. Some of the facilities in 2B were not union at the time of the general election when you were still on the ballot, Brian. The Altium sales plant in Lordstown is 1,300 people. That's 1,300 additional votes that are being cast this election from active plants that weren't before. There's another one here at Otto Tinken, another facility that was added locally, just organized, and are eligible to vote as well. So all these
if
other
they
units
weren't
that
organized
are added,
before. They shouldn't be organized now to vote. If they couldn't vote in the original election, they should not be allowed to vote in the runoff.
I believe you. I agree with you. I don't agree with temps being getting signing bonuses either. People that aren't even going to hold a job for any period of time being able to vote on your contract.
Why, Adrian, can you explain that for me, please?
Explain.
Because I'm ignorant to the fact. Can you help me understand why they shouldn't be able to vote, the people that became union at this time? You're saying that they shouldn't be able to vote in the runoff. They weren't in good standing. I'm trying to line the rule up so I can see the
They weren't organized at all.
Okay, this is a two-part election. This is not a one-part. And if you if you weren't a member in good standing for the original, then what makes you a member in good standing all of a sudden for the runoff?
Because they just certified their union.
Yeah.
They weren't organized prior.
Why were they organized during an election time?
They did it right between elections.
Right. Why?
So the government makes the rules. The overseer, the monitor makes the rules. So if he allowed that, and I'm gonna look at it. But I was interested. You made me interested.
There's nothing that we could probably do about it. But and as far as the overseer. The slave master, the overseer, monitor, he don't have good sense. I'm just going to put it that way to be nice. Because he doesn't really make the rules, allowing the current caucus representatives to make the rules.
Well, we agree.
Yep.
And that's the
same. I agree with that.
2-minute warning.
And all he does is go in and tweak it so that it maybe sounds right. But however he does it, it don't sound right to me. Because I've read a lot of the stuff. But so
Thank
many
you
things.
For enlightening me.
I can't
Thank
say
you,
too
Angel.
Much more. You're welcome.
No, that's all. Thank you. I need to know when I look in my book. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in there that would say that, common sense just says, wait a minute. You're organizing.
We ain't working with common sense,
Ace.
We're not working with common sense.
But time next Sunday, we'll know President Sean. Keep the faith, people.
Thanks, everybody. Good night, Don.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night, everybody.